tonight we're gonna talk about the first part of Acts. And let me tell you something that I find both fascinating and frustrating about the book of Acts. It's fascinating because it's a story that reads like a story. I mean, it starts at the beginning and it just goes and goes and goes. And Luke includes all of these things in the story. And it is a really cool story. Anybody with 2 degrees of imagination can read that story and fill in the blanks and just find it a great story. But because it's a story and it's just the information that we have, I find it kind of difficult to teach, because it's like it's a story, read it. Any questions? That's kind of how I feel about that. So we're going to help each other with this tonight. The other thing that I find a little bit frustrating is that even though it is complete, it's only part of the story. When I read it, as I've done multiple times over the last several days, I think, what else was going on? What else was going on? Where was James when this was happening? And what were the women and the other friends back at the house doing when this was going on? And I just know, because we all know, that there's always other stuff going on. And those are the parts, those are the mysteries that that I want to know about. Because in the same way that John at the end of his gospel said, if all the things that Jesus did were recorded, there would not be room. I read Acts and I think the same thing. If all the things that the apostles and those that were being saved daily, if all the things that they did were recorded, there wouldn't be enough room. But this is how I see the book of Acts. That we have the synoptic gospels that we've talked about, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we've talked about how they tell the story of Jesus kind of as an in-the-moment thing. And then the Gospel of John, who tells the story of Jesus from more of a retrospective standpoint. And we could read those things and close the book and say, here's where the story of God comes to a close. And like Mike talked about last week, resurrection is our invitation to join the story of God. And to me, the story of God, yes, it climaxes at the resurrection, but then it doesn't decline, it just keeps going through the book of Acts and through the rest of the New Testament. And so this story of God that we talked about starting way back in Genesis, to me, when we get to Acts, the pedal is down, man, and it's just going. And it fascinates me that because someone told my grandfather about Jesus, and I don't know who that person was, and someone told them, and someone told them, that though we cannot trace it out, our line goes all the way back to these stories right here. That these stories are the beginnings of our stories. And I find that fascinating. That there is this unbroken line from there to here. So, they didn't meet in a room like this. They met in other places that we'll talk about. But people have been gathering together to talk about Jesus and the story of God all along. And so we get to be part of the all along. So if you'll take your Bibles and you'll turn to Acts chapter 1, we'll jump off right here, right at the beginning. Now the writer of Acts is Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke. And so he refers back to that earlier gospel right here in the first sentence. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all about what Jesus did. And now I'm going to write to you about what happened afterwards. Right? Here's some things that I want to point out to you that I find interesting. He presented himself, after his suffering, Jesus presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And what did he talk about before his death? Do you remember? The kingdom of God. So he talked about the kingdom before his death and resurrection. Then the death and resurrection happens and he says, hey guys, let's talk about the kingdom of God. Now I wonder if some of them weren't like, hey, why don't you tell us what happened when you were dead? Okay? Let's have some of those stories, because Jesus, we've heard about the kingdom of God. But that's what Jesus wanted to talk about. He wanted to talk about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Big words. Big words. You've heard me talk about this promise, guys. Just wait. It's coming. And then the next line really amuses me. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He's talked about the kingdom of God before his death and resurrection. After his death and resurrection, he talks about the kingdom of God. He says, guys, wait, because this gift is coming. And they say, okay, is like this when we kick out the Romans? Does that happen now, Jesus? It's like after all of this, life, death, resurrection, preaching, teaching, healing, being with, they're still looking for some kind of political thing to happen. So, is it now? Like, because, and Jesus is like, wait for the gift, guys. Yeah, but is the gift the restoration of the kingdom? No. It's not. It amuses me. It interests me that after all this, and Jesus comes back from the dead and he's talking about the kingdom of God, they're still asking old way questions. They're still thinking old way. The disciples are still stuck in this loop of Roman oppression, and how are we going to throw off the yoke of our oppressors? That's still what they want to think about right here. And then the command comes. He said, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses. I want to just take a minute to point out the order of things that Jesus says. He doesn't say, you'll be my witnesses, and eventually, a little ways down the road, power will come on you and everything will be okay. He promises the power first, and the witnessing comes after that. It's not that he expects them to go and do these things. Remember, he said, wait, 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 wait. You don't have to go and do it, because something is coming. The power is coming for you to be my witnesses in this expanding circle, right? Jerusalem, where they were. Judea, the area surrounding Jerusalem. Samaria, the area even farther than that, and then all the way to the ends of the earth, you guys are going to be my witnesses. All right? And then he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. We don't talk about the ascension a whole lot. doesn't get the kind of press that the birth of Jesus gets, or even his death or resurrection. But think about that. You've been with him for 40 days now. You've seen him eat. He's invited you to stick your hand into his side. He suddenly appears in a room and you go, isn't the door locked? And he says, no, don't worry about it. He's been with you. He's been talking to you. There's been conversation, discourse about the kingdom of God and all those things. You've touched him. You know that he's real. He's not a ghost. And then one day he just goes, what would that be like? To just stand there and not watch him disappear, but watch him just go up until you can't see him anymore. Have you done that with a helium balloon? Sometimes on a clear day, you can watch that thing a long time, right? And there he goes. I can't imagine what that would have felt like, because the Holy Spirit isn't here yet. And he just left. He has left the building. And what do we do now? Suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them on the ground. So get this. You're watching up in the sky. And then suddenly there's somebody standing next to you. Men of Galilee. It would have made me jump. I know. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back into the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Notice, no timetable. He's gone, he's coming back. So, should we just order out and wait here? There is no timetable. Just somebody build a fire, it's getting cold. He's coming back. Any minute now. And he doesn't, and he doesn't, and he doesn't. And eventually they decide to go back to Jerusalem. Now, I want to bring out a couple things in this next story, and then we're going to talk at the tables. When the apostles returned to Jerusalem, they decided that someone needed to replace Judas. Still thinking that there were 12 of us, and we were a pretty good team, right? So now we're a man short, so we need to replace someone. Now, how are we going to do that? And Peter lays this out. It is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. You see Peter's thrust here? We need witnesses of the resurrection. We don't need hands to help do things. We don't have a list of things that need to be accomplished. What we need is someone who has been with us, who can stand with us and say, Jesus rose from the dead. That was Peter's priority. We've got to have someone who can be a witness to the resurrection with us. Over in chapter 3, verse 15, it says this. When Peter is talking to the folks after he heals a man, Peter says, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. The witness thing was really important to Peter. Over in chapter 4, verse 10, it says this. I can't read my numbers. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth who you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. That's why this man is healed. And again and again and again throughout the book of Acts, Peter and the apostles are leaning on proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. When we talked about the resurrection last week or the week before, whenever that was, someone mentioned, you know, we talk about the birth and we talk about the death of Jesus. And sometimes it feels like resurrection just kind of takes a back seat to some of those things. But when we look at Acts, especially in the beginning, the emphasis was on resurrection, resurrection, resurrection. That's what Peter and the apostles wanted the folks to know, that Jesus, whom they had crucified, had risen from the dead. I asked you, actually Mike asked you on my behalf last week to read up through chapter 10 or so. And I know Jeff got to chapter 3 because he was listening to it on his phone when he came in. Should have taken the long way, Jeff. You might have got into chapter 5 or 6. But this is what I'd like you to do. At your table, if you read it or not, don't be uptight, because first of all, some of these stories are familiar. Secondly, like I said, they're very straightforward. So if you have your Bible open before you and you haven't read it, but your eye catches, hey, look at this little story right here. I just want you to take a few minutes to share some of the stories that you find especially compelling, and then talk about those a little bit. And then I've got a question about which of these scenes would you choose to witness firsthand, all right? And some scenes that I picked out of the book of Acts. So let's take 10 minutes or so to do that, and then I'll call us back together.